You're tuning on Gordon GD's channel. Please stand by.
In this episode, His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama turns 77.
Hi, it's Gordon here again. I hope you're doing fine. I'm recording this on the 6th of July 2012. And for those who don't know, it's the 77th birthday of Tenzin Gyatso, or as the world knows him, the Dalai Lama. And I wanted, obviously, to post this on my audiobook channel on the day, so here I am. And instead of going on chattering today, I just wish to share two readings from my blog Zomine. The first one I've written in 2011, obviously on the 6th of July, and the other one I've written yesterday, the 5th of July, to mark this day. It's a bit complicated, I know. I hope you enjoy, and please feel free to contact me via the usual social network and via my email address. Thanks very much, and hope you enjoy.
Wednesday, July 6, 2011, celebrating HH, the 14th Dalai Lama's 76th birthday. On the 6th July 1935, a boy called Tenzin Gyatso was born to a poor farming family in northeast Tibet. If it had not been for the fact that at around age 2, he was not identified as the 14th reincarnation of the Dalai Lama, nobody would know who this person was. In fact, many people only know him by his title. I wouldn't have predicted that I would be writing about this man, who for the people of Tibet remains a source of hope and for many who bother to get to know more about him, like myself, cannot fail to be touched by his humanity and his genuine interest to understand other people. This isn't meant to be a biographical account of the Dalai Lama's life, and there are many sources to get this information. However, what I can say is that though it was unfortunate for the Dalai Lama to have to flee Tibet following China's invasion in 1949, his refuge to India helped to raise awareness about the Tibetan cause, as well as introducing Tibetan Buddhism to the West. Not only that, but the Dalai Lama has been open to new knowledge gained from scientific inquiry and has met top scientists from around the world across various areas to discuss what makes us, basically, the nature of reality. In addition, I admire him because he denies that he is a god-king, and recently, he gave up his role as a political leader and declared that the people of Tibet should elect their own leaders. Moreover, while retaining his position as the spiritual leader of the Tibetan people, he does not exclude a time after his death when there will be no longer the need for the institution of the Dalai Lama. I think the first time I recall seeing the Dalai Lama was when I was about 14 years old. Even if I couldn't understand it, I sensed this man projected something unique that you rarely witnessed in daily life. A feeling of authentic engagement with the audience, a sense of unconditional acceptance, and a feeling that he was talking to you on a human level. My interest in Buddhism would grow from there, but given the mixed information about Buddhism I got from those who should have known better, I always held back from delving into understanding what Buddhism was about or to read works by people who practice and teach it. Perhaps I was afraid of going against the faith I was brought up to believe, and honestly, I was still rather young and immature in certain matters. Even if I had always struggled in knowing why people die or suffer in this world. In addition, there are still plenty of misconceptions about Buddhism that people in the West have. While it's true that Buddhists believe in cyclic existence or reincarnation, it would be wrong to reduce millennia of Buddhist doctrine to just that belief without examining its basis, or that the actions we do in our lifetime have consequences and that these actions will leave an impact on our current lives and possible futures. There is also the idea that Buddhism is atheistic, which is only partly true because Buddhism holds that whether there exists a god is problematic, as it holds that everything arises dependently on other causes and conditions, and thus nothing, including a creator god, can exist as such. It has also been argued that Buddhism is nihilistic and that it denies the existence of things. However, the Buddhist doctrine, if you study it closely, is commenting on how reality exists and not whether reality exists. For example, you are able to read and understand this text because you have learned language, and English at that. If it had not been for you having learned to associate the symbols of the alphabet and that each letter stands for a sound and that a collection of sounds and letters produce words and speech, then this text would be meaningless. And while you're there, even the words we use have their own history and we have our personal relation to certain words. This is especially true of words with strong emotional content such as love or racist insults. Now, nobody will contest that words do exist, but Buddhist doctrine is making us aware that words depend on other factors to become what they are, in this case. Therefore, without knowing the code for deciphering language, and understanding what words represent and ultimately to understand the concept behind those words, then this text would be not better than random patches of black shapes Z surrounded by white spaces. And then even the words black, shapes, white and spaces have more than one meaning, such as those relating to color, race, place, form, etc. Of course, I can't really deal with all I've learned on Buddhism from my reading of the Dalai Lama's translated works. Nor do I pretend to be any expert but just a beginner. Indeed, these past months have been literally life-changing and I still have much to learn about Buddhism and the meaning of happiness. I don't regret my upbringing and early spiritual interest in understanding the purpose of life. The more I sincerely wish to understand what other beliefs, the more I realize that there was a common longing to find home. I don't even claim that Buddhism answers all the questions about life, but I feel that it has touched me in a profound way that words just cannot fully capture. I have written a lot already, so I'll leave you with a quote from the Dalai Lama, which in a simple way, captures the entire philosophy of Buddhism. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. If you want others to be happy, practice compassion. H.H. the 14th Dalai Lama, the 6th of July 1935. Thursday, July 5th, 2012. Tomorrow, it's the 6th July. So, it's H.H. 14th Dalai Lama's 77th birthday. Tomorrow, the 6th July 2012, His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama celebrates his 77th birthday. I have written an entry 1 year ago on that date, which I encourage you to read as well. In the post, simply entitled, Celebrating HH the 14th Dalai Lama's 76th birthday, I shared my experiences during my early readings of some of his works and the impressions of him as I watched YouTube videos where he talks. Since that time, I have continued to cultivate my practice and to grow in mindfulness and compassion. Over these months, I have read and listened to books, podcasts and talks on the teachings of Buddha or Dharma talks. I continue to learn and explore what it means to be a human being and have discovered a profound value in life that transcends all the attachments and limitations that we often choose to impose onto ourselves and on others. This, I learned, is the real source of why suffering, or in Pali, dukkha. I don't feel that I have to convince you or anyone that the path I chose to go deeper into Buddhism is the right way for all. In fact, one thing that I always admired in H.H. the Dalai Lama was his appeal to first follow the spiritual tradition of your family and, then, if necessary, follow another path and not necessarily the Buddhist way either. I find myself now in a position when I can say, I have found meaning and peace in Buddhism. And, here, I don't mean that I have espoused the teaching and dogma of the religion such as the hierarchy of the many gods that can be found in the religious tradition. Indeed, unlike other faith traditions, God or any notions of a God are, somehow, irrelevant as we have the ultimate responsibility over our actions and on our happiness. Still, It would be unfair to call Buddhism as atheistic, but rather as non-theistic. I think that Buddhism did make me reconsider the representation of God, or what God is, or whether such a creator exists or not. I believe today that if we really wish to find God, God is to be found in the experience of life, in others, and in ourselves. But another thing I have learned through my readings of the Dalai Lama is that often we become attached too much on ideas about who we are and giving undue importance to the things we have or the status and reputation we have gained in society rather than recognize how really temporary all these things are. How we fail many times to appreciate the life we've got, the life we have been given, the little time we have on this world. We fail to appreciate all the world, all the people and all the gifts we have that enable us to live another day. I, myself, have much to learn. As I prepare to welcome a new night and await another morning, I think about many things. I reflect about my life and how, even these hard times, I continue hoping in tomorrow. Not that I don't get angry or sad, but putting things into perspective, I find refuge in the fact that nothing is permanent and, even if my life would end tomorrow, I did my best to be authentic and true to who I am. For, as I spent time growing in my self-discovery, the more I realized how much this life is precious and how much more unlimited and dependent. I smile as I remember H.H. Dalai Lama's candid laugh and calm words. Words uttered without pretension or arrogance. Words spoken in the language of love and genuine compassion. Happy birthday, Your Holiness. Credits. To read more entries from the blog Zone Mind, please visit http://zonemind.gordongd.com. Music for this episode was from the album by Peter Kater entitled 10 Questions for the Dalai Lama.
You can get in touch with Gordon by emailing him at zonemind.starchild@gmail.com. Kindly make sure you include the word Boo in your mail.
For more content by Gordon, please visit http://www.gordongd.com. Thanks for listening. GordonGD.com is now on Facebook. Visit www.gordongd.com to get started.